we read about teenage problems, and we know people who have teenage problems. One of their biggest problems is that they have no purpose. And that's true of a lot of people in life. They live without an adequate purpose. This morning we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that teaches us about the Apostle Paul's purpose for his ministry, and then apply that to parents. Would you please turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 24. Colossians 1:24. And this message to the Colossians is to explain to them a heresy that others were bringing to them. And so he writing about a Christ-centered life. And without wasting or taking too much time in the context, let me just pick it up at verse 24 of Colossians 1. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the dispensation from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The purpose of this passage is to reveal the purpose of Paul's ministry, and he states it here. It is to bring every person, man and woman, to maturity. Now, maturity is a word that's closely related to completeness or development lies in fruit. We have two grapevines in our backyard, and it's interesting to watch them. All through the winter, there's nothing. With a little bit of sunshine in springtime, they have some leaves. And then the other day, I saw some tiny grapes beginning to grow. When they reach maturity or fully developed, then we'll eat some. So maturity is sort of being fully developed. And what Paul is talking about here is spiritual maturity. What is spiritual maturity? He says he wants to present every person spiritually mature. Well, he would say, first of all, it would be a person who is a worshiper. One who worships the Lord. Then one who serves. And when we get into it, it's certainly about the fruit of the Spirit that Paul speaks of in Galatians, which are all those character assets of love and joy and peace and gentleness, so on. So we'll look at that. Now, the interesting thing about this passage that came to me about a month ago was the fact that this can be rightfully applied to parenting. That what Paul's purpose was for these believers should be the purpose of parents to bring children to spiritual maturity. And with that purpose, then it becomes a lot more pleasant being a parent, if you have a purpose. So we're going to look at this text and see, ask a question. How did Paul achieve his purpose? Or what was his approach to bring believers to spiritual maturity? There are three words here: proclaiming, warning, and teaching. They are verb forms, and I'm not sure whether they are participles or not, so you'll have to forgive me for that. In fact, they might be dangling participles, but they are verb forms. So look at the first one. He says it's by proclaiming Christ. Verse 28, Him we preach. Him we proclaim. And as we understand preaching is a proclamation with authority. The authority of the Word of God, not the authority of the preacher. Teaching, we could sit around the table and we could suggest alternatives, make suggestions, but preaching goes beyond that. Preaching is assertive. It is proclaiming. And it comes with the authority of God's Word. And so I am not here to make suggestions. I'm not here to present alternatives. I am here to proclaim the truth of God's Word. Now that's, Paul says he is proclaiming Christ. And so the very center of what he does with these people in developing them into spiritual maturity is to proclaim Christ. He is central. You can define Christianity in one word, and that is Christ. Without Christ, there is no salvation. There is no Christianity. So what does he do? He explains who Christ is. And the difference for us this morning and other groups which be known as sects or cults is what we believe about Christ. That he is the Son of God. That he is God himself. And that he is divine. And that he is eternal. And Paul explains this. Then he explains to them what Christ has done, in that he was born miraculously, that he died on the cross sacrificially to pay for man's sin, and that recently we have celebrated his resurrection, and that is what is necessary for the believer. So Paul begins by proclaiming Christ. And I remember in my own experience that I started going to church, and that was good. But I went to a summer camp with a man who had daily devotions. So he took me out in a boat in the middle of the lake one morning to have devotions. So I was captive. I couldn't get away. But anyway, he started to teach me from John 15 and showed me Christ, who he is and what he has done. I will never forget that experience. It was like a light going on, and I began to see and understand who he is. Paul did it by proclaiming. Secondly, he did it by warning. He said he warned these people. What? About sin and its results. The devastation of sin in the life of a person. He wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Paul also warned them extensively about false teaching. And if there was ever a day or an hour when we needed to be warned, it's today. How many voices cry for our loyalty and pretend that they are telling truth? Paul warns against false teaching, against false teachers. And today, there is so much on television and books that is so false and contrary to God's word. Thirdly, the way he went at them was by teaching. Teaching is very necessary. Teaching the truth of God's word. Teaching doctrine. Teaching theology. People who come to church today, many of them do it just for social reasons or just for entertainment. And churches have become a theater where people are amused and entertained. We need to return to be thinking Christians, to know Christian doctrine, to know God and Christ and His Word. So Paul proclaims Christ. He warns them about false teaching. And then he teaches them in all wisdom. And then a fourth way, he says it's by his labor. He worked at it. This was central to his life. This was in his heart that he wanted the people he knew to be spiritually mature and to bring to them that maturity. And he says, I do this because God is working in me. It's not that I am on my own, but He is in me. And he said to the Ephesians, I've worked and bled and sweated night and day to teach you and to do this for you. This is the basis for our ministry of work with each other. As we have friends and neighbors and family, how do we work with them? We proclaim Christ. We warn them about falsehood. We teach in all wisdom, and we labor according to God's mighty working. Now, in thinking of relating this to parents, the same thing must be true. Parents must have the same purpose as Paul had for Christian believers. What is that? To bring their children, their young people, to spiritual maturity. It's fine to raise a golfer or a football player or a musician, but a vital purpose has to go way beyond that, to spiritual maturity, and to work with them as Paul did. First of all, then, how do we do that? How do parents go about bringing children and young people to spiritual maturity? First of all, by proclaiming Christ. Christ central in the home. Our Lord Jesus Christ worshiped daily. To bring those children and young people to know Him. That's the basic step. Secondly, by warning. Parents are the main teachers. School is good. They learn from a lot of people, but parents are the main basic teachers to teach or warn about sin and its devastating results in life. Parents have to warn children and young people about current dangers. first of all, with friends. Parents have to supervise friendships and to warn them about friends. One of the problems I had as a young adult was wrong friendships. And young people need to be warned. Second, they need to be warned about what they see, what they look at. Of course, that's movie, TV, magazines, other people, and so on. What we see makes lasting impressions. They need to be warned about what they hear. And a lot of that comes from the music of our day. Another danger is heroes making certain celebrities heroes who are very unworthy of following. Parents need to be very alert. You need to know what's happening. You need to be very observing every day. Now let me just say a few things about infants, young children, and young people. What is the basic thing that infants catch, say from 0 to 5? The basic thing they catch is obedience and respect. If we don't have a child's obedience by the age of 5, we'll never have it. If we don't have their respect, they'll never have it. Children, obey your parents. This is really about the only thing God's word says to children. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. They have to be taught that. Respect has to be demanded. And so, from 0 to 5, is obedience. Get them now. Get them while they're young. And what about young children, say 6 to 11? What do parents do? They build character. It's the character building age. Honesty, truthfulness, the things that make them great people. It's interesting that these things have to be taught. It's natural in our human sin nature, the natural thing for us is to lie. How soon do children begin to lie? The day they got home from the hospital, the other morning, I was in my study and the doorbell rang. And the neighbor kids have been doing a little bit, and they're really nice kids, but I ran to the door because I had an answer for them. And I opened the door, and a neighbor kid, whose name was Nick, was out in the front. He was starting to run, and I saw him. I said, "Nick, please don't ring our doorbell." He says, "Oh, I didn't do it. Oh, I didn't do it." Well, he did. He knew it. But that was the natural thing. I didn't do it. Then the other neighbor boy was around the corner. He says, "I didn't do it either." Was natural to them. We have to be taught to tell the truth. And they must be punished for lying. building character. How important. Now then, as young people, say from 12 to 20 or whatever age, what do? We teach wisdom. We teach them how to make wise decisions. We help them and give them security by giving them boundaries. And as much as they might not like the boundaries underneath, they do. Young people who have no boundaries become very insecure. And many times when they are invited to certain places, say to a party, and they know it's wrong, and underneath they don't want to go. They need a support system where the parent can say, "We don't want you to go. You will not go." So that young person can make a decision, "I'm not going," and it helps them. So we set the boundaries. We teach them wisdom to make decisions and become responsible people. And we know them, each one, because they're different. They may eat our food and spend our money, but they come out. And they have to be, a parent has to know each one. We live in a world of depravity. Our culture does not help us. And the most difficult thing today is being a parent. And without the Lord, it's scary. Now then, Paul says he not only warns and he proclaims Christ and warns, he does it by teaching. Parents are teachers. They may go to public school, but it's homeschooling, folks. That's where the action is. The main teachers is father, mother. What does a young man learn from his father? He learns to be masculine. He learns to be a man. What does a girl learn from her mother? She learns to be feminine. She learns to be a lady. A lady is a woman who commands respect. The world needs ladies. And that's what is taught at home. And parents need to teach young people to counteract the culture. We Christian people are not obligated to take up everything people around us are doing. We don't have to see what they see. We don't have to hear what they hear. We don't have to wear what they wear. We need to be discerning. And as young people, we teach them right from wrong. Now that's very confused today in our culture. And because of relativism, there is no absolutism. And they are trying to tell us there is no right and no wrong. There is right and wrong. It's in the scripture. So we teach them. Paul says it's by proclaiming, by warning, by teaching, and by laboring. He said, "I labor." Being a parent takes energy, lots of energy, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. It's interesting how how bright children are and how they know just how much, how far to go to push a parent, to wear down a parent emotionally. I tell you, they just know how to do this. It's amazing. So it requires all that energy. It's laboring. It's by being available and open and being fair and by being strict. I remember one time our wonderful daughter Becky, 16 years old. Well, this is on tape.
Okay.
Well, you can eliminate it. I don't talk about my children unless I get permission first, because I don't want to embarrass them. But anyway, you can eliminate it. But she was wanting to do something I was not going to allow. And when we were discussing it, she looked at me and said, "You bug me." Well, good. I don't mind that, but you're not going. So it takes, she knew how to work me, but at this one time at least it didn't work. We need to be strict. They need to. We need to learn how to give and when to give. Children who get too much too soon are spoiled. And it's amazing the amount of toys and gadgets that children have. Now, parents can't always control it because they're grandparents who come along. When the parents try to limit that, then grandparents at Christmas and birthday just lavish the kids with tons of things. But they must be taught. Don't give too much too quick. Well, of course, there are now hundreds of books, and we could spend hours and hours, which we will get to do occasionally. But this is enough for this morning by looking at the Apostle Paul's purpose. And for all of us to take this same purpose as we think of each other. What is the highest and most noble enterprise on this earth? It's to know God and to help each other toward spiritual maturity. Now we call this discipleship. As we work with each other as Christians, this is how we should think and pray for each other. That we all become spiritually mature, fully developed in Christ. Now, there's one thing isn't listed here in this scripture, but which must be included today. How do parents bring children to spiritual maturity? By trusting God. That's what just summarizes all of this. We trust that God's grace will prevail in spite of us, not because of us. And Faye and I are not here to talk about being experts or pros or success. We speak out of failure, but God's grace prevailed, and in spite of us, we have three dedicated, committed Christian people. It was always interesting to me that watching a young man become a pastor, or one who's out of seminary, first year out of seminary, they get in the church, and one of the first things they do is have a conference on marriage and sex. I think, well, wait a minute, buddy, wait 20 years, because you need that to talk about this and to learn how to trust that God's grace carries you through all of these things, and that He helps us with our failures and our weaknesses. Christian parents, realize this. Your children live in a Christian home. What a great privilege that is. The things they get to learn and the things they get to know and the example. What a great thing that is. Be encouraged. And don't get too submerged in the details every day. But understand that they live in a Christian home with God's word and with godly parents. And parents, Christian parents, have the great privilege. We pray in these character assets. We pray in their wisdom. We pray for them in their decisions. We pray for them about their obedience and their stubbornness and rebellious. And God is gracious and kind and helpful. He hears. He answers according to His will. We trust Him. Be greatly encouraged today. When we moved into our home in Costa Mesa, the previous owner had a shuffleboard court out in the backyard. And in my prayer times, I was noticed that I'd fall asleep. You know, you sit down, you pray, and pretty soon you're nodding off or thinking of everything. So I discovered that when I walked, I was better off. And I wore off the lining of that shuffleboard court praying for my kids. What a privilege that was. And what a privilege we have together as a church family to pray. So, as God teaches us from this passage, may the Holy Spirit this morning bring that same purpose to us, to help each other and to help our children and young people. Let's ask Him to do that. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, for the truth, for the example of the Apostle Paul and how he suffered, was persecuted, and yet labored as a father among the people. Pray that You'll help us devote our energy, what You give us, that we may give to each other and to our children and young people. Impress the truth of this passage upon our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.